Greg Lowe joined Project M for Monster in 1958. Project M became Slack the year before construction on the lab began. Greg worked as head of the Accelerator Physics Department from 1964 to 1982, most of the years that Pete directed the lab. Greg?
Dear Adele, dear Panofsky family, and dear colleagues, as I stand before today in front of you, like all the other speakers, I'm sure you realize that doing justice in 5 minutes to a relationship with an extraordinary person like Pief, a man whom I've known and admired for almost 50 years, is very difficult, both intellectually and emotionally. When I arrived at Stanford in 1954 as a student, Pief was already a legend. He was known as the smart Panofsky, who taught a course in electromagnetic theory, as Dick mentioned, but he forgot to mention that Pief kept a stool in his classroom to better reach the blackboard. When I started to work under him and Dick Neal at Project M in 1958, and then at Slack, he was the individual who, when you gave him something to proofread in the evening, no matter how long and complicated, he had the response on your desk the next morning before you got there. What is so amazing is that very little changed over these 50 years with Pief. With respect to all our Slack projects, which you already heard about, whether it was the disk-loaded waveguide for the Linux, the laser alignment system, which went into a technical snag, and which we fixed together with Pief in his Washington, D.C. hotel room. The shocking beam breakup surprise we ran into when we turned on the machine in May of 1966, and which he explained in a few days later, all by himself, in a wonderful short theoretical paper, which is even more surprising. Projects like SLED, SPEAR, PEP, SLC, and so on. Pief was invariably there, totally present and with it, ready to comment and support us. Always principled, disposed to listen to you, even if he didn't necessarily agree. Always, and this is key, always using knowledge and logic to convince you rather than authority. As you all know, Pief promoted international collaboration in science even during the height of the Cold War, as a way to bring people together. Away from Slack, it was always fun to travel with him, to CERN, to Rome, to China, to Japan, to Russia. Of the endless Pief stories, I will just tell you one which happened in Russia. Several of us were on an Aeroflot plane from Moscow to a conference in Novosibirsk, Siberia. The plane was several hours late in leaving, and we were all jet-lagged and exhausted. Pief was given a seat at the front of this very crowded plane, and when we finally landed in Siberia and he got off the plane, I asked him if he'd been able to sleep. With his usual smile, but shaking his head as he knew how to do like this, he said to me, "There was a Russian lady sitting next to me with a baby on her lap." So I asked him, was the baby crying? And Pief answered, no, he was 14 years old. You can just imagine his face. In the past 2 years, I've been privileged to have an office very close to Pief's, and we visited each other almost every day. It is always a treat for me, and invariably I learned something new from him. Whether it was on the history of Slack, something technical, or the latest about arms control. So, it won't surprise you that less than 2 weeks ago, he walked into my office with a concerned face, which you could have sometimes, And he said to me, he was puzzled, and listen to this, about the predicted resolution of the beam position monitors for the LCLS undulator alignment. You heard me? I listened to him for a few minutes, but since I didn't know much about the subject, I recommended that he call Paul Emma, which he agreed to do. As he was walking out, I took one more look at him, and I asked him with some amazement, "Pief, how in the world did you come upon this problem now?" To which he simply answered, "Well, you know, I still work here. I'm interested." And indeed, this Monday morning, this week, the last day of his life, Pief had a meeting in his office at 11 o'clock with Paul Emmer, Joe Frisch, Steve Smith, and Henrik Luce, and apparently they straightened out the problem to everybody's satisfaction. This Tuesday, after I called Dick Neal, our first associate director of the technical division, whom Pief loved and respected enormously, and who, by the way, turned 90 a few weeks ago, I gave him the sad news, and Dick sent me a short paragraph he asked me to read. Here it is. W.K.H. Pifanovsky, the great physicist and a great human being, is no longer physically present in our midst. However, over these many years, whenever I've been faced with an important decision or critical issue, I've always asked myself this question. How would Pief handle this matter, and what decision would he reach? Now, following his permanent transition, I'm sure that I will follow the same procedures in the future. Thus, although sorely missed, Pief will always be present in my life. I think this is a good place for me to end, because I think it is true for all of us who have known this wonderful man, that he will always be present in our lives. Now, I've been asked to say one thing. What we're going to do now, in place of observing a traditional minute of silence, is to play the adagio of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 2, which Pief and Adele recently heard at their 65th anniversary, which they celebrated in Napa. And this piece, which Pief specifically requested be played in his memory on such an occasion, which unfortunately came much too soon. Thank you.
Kennedy.